This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone, under the sea.
Hello, everyone. Yes, Matt, we are recording this under the sea.
We're under the sea. Down here, it's wetter. The podcast is better under the sea.
Yeah. I'm struggling, man.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know about this idea.
We knew we were going to sort of talk about, like... water stuff and like water games with
Dave the Diver specifically. We're like, hey, that'll be a fun layer to it. We'll record in the open ocean.
Yeah, and it's just a lot harder to do the show soaked.
And like, for sure.
You don't really know that you're wet because you're in water.
Yes,
that's sort of a paradox thing. That now that's kind of fucking me up, you know. But nothing even really works down here.
Yeah, I mean. I'm having trouble hearing you,
yeah.
You know, through all our scuba gear. Like, I'm struggling to even make out what you're saying. I think you were saying that nothing really works down
here. No, Nick, we can't make out.
I wasn't saying that. I was not proposing that. If you thought that was what I was saying,
we're missing each other. We can't really hear each
okay.
other down here. But you know what?
I just want to make it clear that's not what I was saying, because that could put our working relationship in a really weird place if you thought I was actually proposing that.
You know what? How about this? Uh-huh. How about we open up that text document that we have, and we can sort of just text out... my computer doesn't work down here.
Let me try mine. This thing's fucking
soaked.
It doesn't work at all.
It's all wet. The computer's fucking wet. The computer doesn't work now.
I also think I just ruined my MacBook.
Yeah, my MacBook's fucking ruined. It has ocean water on it.
Let me try my phone. It doesn't
work. My phone's all ruined.
I think I just ruined my phone, too. Uh-huh.
Well, okay, did you bring...
Hold on, I got some notes on paper.
I was going to say, I brought these ads that we have to read. They're printed out. Fucking
paper
soggy
is just
hell.
Turning into fucking mush.
I'm starting to not be able to breathe good.
Yeah, this is the other thing. I think our oxygen supply is dwindling. Are we dumb?
Well, hang on. No, we're not dumb.
No, we might be dumb. I think, Matt, why did we think this was a good idea? I think we're dumb.
I think we might be dumb, but...
Oh, too dumb to figure it out, though.
Yeah, I can't really put my finger on why. I think we can just keep doing the show, and I guess, is anybody feeling... I'm feeling, like, crushed.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like, I might have the bends. Anyway, speaking of Dave the Diver, my big thoughts are glug, 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 glug. Glug, glug. Glug, 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 glug.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because mine are...
We jump into the blue hole and hire a Jason Voorhees lookalike to serve sushi as we deep dive on 2023 surprise hit Dave the Diver this week on Get Played. Wow, it's Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get Played. And with us today, Heather is out. Our guest just buried his head in his hands. I don't know what we did wrong, but I always
so
feel
far,
like...
So far, I think everything. I think everything, all this whole thing is a fucking mistake.
Well, when Heather's not here, it's always a little bit chaotic, as yeah. we were saying before we started.
Just
but thankfully...
the sort of, like, double down on hello, everybody. Like, I know, like, yes, indeed, hello, everybody. It's like, whoa, fucking...
He said it!
Killing it with the catchphrases.
You have no idea how much people like hello, everyone. It's, that is yeah. like that's like Matt's thing.
It's like, so when people say it in other things, I get screenshots. They said it. They said your thing.
Man, good way to corner the market on an actual expression. I wish I was, anytime someone said, what's up, man? They were like, holy shit, it's Gabriel. You know, like that kind of brand recognition is a fucking dream come true.
Well, some of the
good
ones
work.
That you're known for have fallen out of favor. Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of what I'm known for used to be just carved into bathroom stall doors and shit like that.
Our guest today, one of the funniest people on earth, from the podcast High and Mighty and Action Boys, John Gabrus is here. Hi, Gabrus. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, please. Hi, Weiger. Hi. This is so fun. Rather than just texting you guys about games or asking for recommendations, we could record it for strangers to listen to.
Well, I will say, because, and part of the origin of this particular episode, we weren't going to do a full episode about this game, but you and I have been texting about your fandom of it, and we'll get into it in a second, but it's like, I do feel like that's a big part of our... you know, text relationship is you'll just like text me, you know, like, hey, I'm playing this right now, or hey, should I get a Steam Deck, you know, and we'll kind of go back and forth about things.
Yeah, I have like a handful of people that are adult gamers whose taste I trust that isn't like, I'm like a specific level of gamer, like with Iffy, friend, mutual friend Iffy. He's a little too far. He's like, oh, I got to get you on Divinity Original. Like, you know, it's always like too much shit that he wants me to do. He's like, bro, we're going to fucking London to do blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, hold on. And then like I text Weiger and I'm like, I like Dave the Diver. He's like, oh, buddy, it's such good vibes. And I'm like, okay, this is like the level of conversation. I'm like, it's annoying because I'm like into it more than any other person that would want to have a conversation about it. But I also am wary of getting into like, I'm like, I'm not building a PC here. So like, deal with me on that level of gamer. And finding people who are on that level of conversation with you is appealing. Yes, two of them happen to be professional video game podcast hosts. But our dialogue, our conversations aren't like in the nitty gritty per se, but a kind of like overall scratch the surface type of vibe. So I'm always running by you and like, I'm pretty up to date on games and stuff, but sometimes I'm worried something will fall through the cracks. So I'll be like, what have you been playing lately? And shit like that, just to stay in the loop. I mean, I guess I could just listen to your podcast, but that would be like a breach of how friendships in 2023 work.
Is there, well, here's the thing, because, and I think this is a huge part of like being an adult who plays video games, is how do I budget my time for this very time intensive and also very expensive hobby?
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm going to commit to a game, when games retail for $70 and are going to demand, you know, dozens of hours of my time, like I want to make sure that this is something that's going to, you know, fit for me. And like, I always feel like that, to your point, when you are trying to decide what to play next, you know, games are so expensive these days. Mm-hmm. The new games retail for $70 and they demand, you know, dozens of hours of your time before you just like jump in and commit to something. You want to have a sense of what you're in for. And a lot of times, like honestly, it's so tough to figure that out from like just like looking at Metacritic and stuff. Like someone whose taste you trust is such a better guidepost.
Yeah, and especially in the online stores where it's like best sell, like everything we know is like payola and shit like that. So you never know like what is actually selling a bunch. You know, like I'm always like Steam's like it's a bestseller, and I look and it's like 8,000 downloads, and then another game's like, people seem to like this, and it's got 450,000 down. You know, it's like pornography rules. It's like, this has 7 million views. This is probably a little better than this 100K view, you know?
I mean, honestly, too, if you adjust your Steam store settings, pornography rules there as well, I assure you. You'll start getting wrecks for Tokyo Love Hotel.
go on. Let's take this offline. If you could just drop in the chat how you change your Steam. Weiger, you're right. And also, the time commitment shit only really hits for me in the retroactive of like, fuck, I can't believe I played that game for 18 hours. Like, I did not love it, you know? And I'm like, damn it, that was 18 hours I could have... And this is the sad part, is you start being like, that's 18 hours I could have been playing a different game, not like spend time with loved ones or write poetry or see nature or anything.
But I,
like
that. That is so interesting, too, because I think about this, and I also think about like how this narrative only applies to video games and not other things, because I won't think, oh, I just watched an entire show and like feel bad about that. I won't feel bad about having watched like 18 hours of a TV show.
Yeah.
But like for a video game, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did this.
Maybe it's just the amount of time.
Yeah, maybe.
For me as a married man, I'm always running into like this is a lot of alone time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And that's where my guilt kicks in. Like, yes, like career and productivity and like, wow, I can't believe I haven't gone to the gym in 5 days. And it's like, I just don't have the time. It's like, log into Baldur's Gate and it's like 26 hours into the, you're like, okay, I'm lying to myself here a little.
Right, 100%.
But it's also the relationship shit too of just like, not that I'm like, my wife is standing, like tapping her foot, being like, we're supposed to make love. And I'm just like jamming on a video game.
I'm waiting for the lovemaking.
But it's like, if you just sit down to something that you know is going to take up 50 hours of your solo time, like,
yes,
that's like a weird choice, you know? But if it was a book, no one would like, I don't think I would think that about myself.
No, no. And nobody's going to be like, you read a whole book? That's pretty
sick.
Yeah.
Sick fuck.
I do want to talk some more about this week's game, but before we get into it, there's the question we always ask at the top of the show. And Gabrus, we can start with you because you just mentioned, I believe, the game you're playing. What are you playing?
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply. Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, so I downloaded Baldur's Gate about a month ago, right when it came out, and I haven't touched it until this past weekend. We're recording on Monday. I just started on Saturday.
Wow.
Because this was a game that I was, I don't know what, I can't even think of an analogy. It's like you get to fuck Jennifer Connelly, and I'm just like, I don't think I'm ready for this yet. You know, and you're just like, it's like.
I'm so glad Heather isn't here.
It's like, you know, it's like this huge, like this huge exciting thing that you think I'm pretty sure I'm going to love, but like this could take up a lot of my time or at least like my brain space. So like I had,
and
like
also you have insane expectations for it. I mean, I certainly did going into this game.
Yeah, same, exactly. And you're like, this is going to be the best. And you're like, well, temper that. And then I was like trying to get like my affairs in order. I was like, well, let me just finish one round of Diablo. It's like, let me play through the game we're going to talk about later. Let me do this for, and then I'll settle. And then finally this weekend, Tiff was out of town. I wanted to spend some time. Yeah, finally. And then my dog doesn't like to really hang out in the office, which is where my game, where I normally game from. So I moved the PlayStation into my living room, and I've just been playing on the big TV in the living room. And my dog's just been right by my side, just as I save scum my way through like one round of combat.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I am not good at the game yet. I am bad. I'm having a lot of difficulties, but I'm impressed. I'm playing it on PlayStation. I had an extended conversation with Nick about my fear of not playing with a mouse and keyboard, but it's coming pretty smoothly. You're right. The camera stuff is really fun on Baldur's Gate with like the two joysticks, makes it a little easier, but I'm enjoying myself. What was your question, Wags?
I was going to ask, like, because I know you're an old school like D&D guy. Like you've played pencil and paper D&D, pen and paper D&D, and you also like love high fantasy in general, like fantasy novels. Is there a class, a race build you gravitated towards?
I've been playing tabletop D&D on and off for now almost 30 years, which is insane. I recently did some HeadGum D&D live stream, and HeadGum host of Review, Riley Anspaugh, was like, Gabrus, have you ever played D&D? And I just got to say for the first time in my life, I'm like, do not take offense by this, but I know that you're young, so I just get to say this. I've been playing D&D since before you were alive.
Wow.
And she was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. That sounds so condescending and so old man of me, but it's rare that that's true for an interaction. So I just had to tell you, I've been playing since you were zero, since you were negative 9 months old. Since the night of your conception, I've been playing. I've always been like, I always mix it up because I read so much fantasy. I get inspired by certain characters, especially like tertiary characters that the main characters run into, like, oh, Drizzt Do'Urden, the drow elf from Menzo Berenzin, meets a Sferf Nebli guy named what the fuck am I talking about here?
I was with you.
But the Sferf Nebli is a gnome of the deep, and there's Belwar Disengulp, a guy. But I get caught up in these characters, and I'm actually playing a half-elf ranger kind of archer sub-build, which is a class I play every once in a while. I like to play like a hippie elf that likes the forest and animals and stuff. And I've always loved the bow and arrow as like an idea. I now build like with character in mind, even in a game. I'm not thinking about maximizing damage. I'm thinking about, oh, it'd be cool to be like of nature and a bow and arrow guy.
That's badass. I love that. It's also like, you know, the Larian games are so difficult. You mentioned it. It's just like the combat is so complicated. And I found myself, and I fell off Baldur's Gate 3, but I am going to return to it in December. I found myself just playing on the easiest difficulty because that just like, gives me the leeway to like role play it a little bit more. And yeah, like you were saying, not worry about min-maxing, which to me just like gives me anxiety of just like, well, shit, I got to make sure that everything is everything about my build is perfect so I can have a chance in combat.
Right. I honestly had such trouble with like one of the first big combat encounters that I was like, I have to play for a couple more days before I decide to go down to easy difficulty. But that's something I've learned that I need to get over. Like, it's about enjoying the game. No one's going to be like, oh, you beat it? Was it on easy?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, no one cares. And if, that, if anyone who gives a shit how I beat Baldur's Gate 3 and not just like, you beat Baldur's, like, why? Who is this for? I'm like lying to myself. The challenge is not, it's already like a 50-60 hour game. Like, I don't need to add, like, I spent 4 hours on like one battle, dying a few times, then save scumming my way through it, and then like finally solving it and blowing all my healing potions and like one-off items. And I was like,
yeah,
this seems like not the way to play this game, because this is the first encounter. I got 100 more days of this. I got to get my shit together.
But overall, I mean, is it living up to expectations?
I gotta say, another gamer that I trust is one of my childhood best friends who we played D&D and video games growing up together, and he was like, "This is the closest you can get to D&D," and it really is.
Wow!
Like it feels really fucking good when you're playing it. The storylines are super rich. All the characterization is very interesting. You know, like the differentiation amongst the characters is really interesting. Like, the dialogue is a lot of fun. I couldn't believe how specific you can get with building your character with like subclasses and shit like that, and spell memorization, like all the shit being part of it is so fucking radical. Though there is a part of me that really likes the simplicity and the streamlining that Baldur's Gate 3 doesn't have. You know, like I found like Skyrim was like a great perfect encapsulation of high fantasy, how much I like, and then how easy it was to play.
Right, 100%. Yeah, this has so much like granular detail because it's trying to simulate the real thing, but it is daunting. And
the turn-based combat is really interesting, but it does slow the game down in a way that it. And then like once you have a party, which is like part of the excitement of D&D too, now you have too much shit to deal with. Like now you're like,
right. Yes.
Fuck. Yeah. That now I'm playing, but it's a combination of like all the shit you like, right? You're running around interacting with the environment. Then you're in like an XCOM 2 battle scenario. And that's fun too. Like I would love to come back on after like 3 months with like sunken eyes and grayish skin and talk to you about how it all played out for me.
I love that. Matt, so since we're banking this episode, we're a little ahead. I thought instead of just talking about the same game, we could talk about something close to the topic of the main thrust of the episode. I thought we could talk about a water game.
Okay,
we love. Do you want to start or you want me to start?
I can start. Yeah, there's this like, so I have this thing, Gabrus. It's called a play date, and it's a little square like gaming device. It's a sort of little like boutique like gaming device, and it has a crank on it.
Because for a second there, it felt like you were just describing the concept of a handheld, but like
it's actually quite small.
It has a crank to it. Yeah,
it has a crank on it, and so it has a directional, like a D-pad, and two buttons and a crank, and that's all it is. And
whoa!
It has these...
So it has no battery or no power. I love that.
Oh, it has that as well. Yeah, and a screen.
So what's the crank for? The crank is a control element, not.
Oh yeah, the
power
crank
element?
is a control. So it is like for this particular game that I'm talking about called Whitewater Wipeout. It's a surfing game, and you see this wave, and you have to use the crank to manipulate your guy on the surfboard to go up or down the wave to stay afloat. And it fucking rules.
Wow.
And you can go up in the air too and twist the crank a lot to like have him do spins and tricks and stuff. And it's really, really, it's a great, that to me is a great water game. You're surfing.
Right.
Who's cooler than surfers, first of all?
It's true.
hard to beat.
You're
second,
talking to a SoCal surfer dude. You're like a foot away right. from one. Yeah,
exactly. I guess there are maybe cooler people there, I think.
Wait a minute. But,
wait, I'm also realizing how yeah. old I sound of like, oh, cool. And you crank it to power it. It's like, I was thinking like, that's so green and interesting. And
no, it was, I was doing a bad job of explaining what it was. But that was, so it was a good clarifying question to get me to what the crank is actually for, and it is to navigate on this wave and do tricks and beat your high score. That's kind of all there is to it. It's yeah. not like a, like, you don't really get to go in the water, so it's like you're on the water only.
Right, sure,
so you're water yeah. adjacent,
yeah,
but it's so it's, and if you fall off,
you think I'm gonna get pedantic with you here? Not actually a water game.
I just saw you sort of, I saw
no,
your
you're
knuckles
fine.
And I was getting nervous that you're gonna start,
better be immersed in water. This is going to qualify.
My question for you, I know we're talking water games specifically, yeah. but Apodaca, what's your favorite play date game? What's the best game on the console?
Great question.
Well, it might be this, because what's cool about the play date is that it comes with games. So you have, like, you buy this thing, and then every month there were two new games on it. Or it was every week, I think, there were two new games. And so it has these games that on it that came for free with the system. So Wipeout... Whitewater Wipeout was one of them. But there's a game that I purchased and installed on it called Bloom that I really, really love, that I talked a lot about on this show, actually. And what it is it's like a slice of life.
Oh, that's right. I remember this. Yeah.
Game where you play this girl who's lying about, like, she's lying about going to college, and when in fact she left college and opened a flower store, and so she's trying to keep this secret alive, keep her parents happy, and also this budding relationship going, and it's great. It is such a neat, just like a sweet little, like, easy playing, like,
sure.
if easy listening is a music genre, it's easy playing. It's a nice little cozy game.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
cool,
really fun. And then, but you do get, if you're me anyway, you do get very stressed out when you have to get to the parts where you have to try to maintain this benign lie, but
yeah.
it feels like, I'm not trying to get in trouble by my parents.
Right.
I would never lie to my parents. This game is pushing me in directions I never thought.
Yeah, straight in the trash.
Tipper Gore was right. Matt, if we're ever on the same podcast in the future, or you know we're, there's a chance we'd run into each other, please pack this play date. I'd love to take a look.
Absolutely. I will. Absolutely,
I've never heard
I
of
should
it.
Just have
I don't
it on
know
me.
Anyone else talking about it. So I'm so
It's
curious.
Really, really cool. It's definitely like a very niche thing, but it is. It's very, very fun. And the thing about it that's cool is that you do have to play it in direct sunlight, or else you cannot see what's going on yeah. on the screen.
One thing I've learned from this podcast is that if there's a completely impractical piece of hardware, Matt will buy it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Heather will gas me up.
I was about
and then
to say. I follow Heather on social media. Yeah. She seems to be purchasing some equipment that seems nearly. I mean, she seems to be like building shit that would like get you reported to the FBI, but I think it's all
nightmare.
For gaming.
Oh, I thought I'd just touch on real quick a game that I had a lot of fondness for when I was a kid. I'm sure know the XCOM franchise from its modern incarnation, but it was a PC. I knew it as a PC game back in the 90s that I got on I think it was might have predated CD-ROM. It might have gotten on floppy disks. But anyway, the first XCOM game, basically, it's like, you know, it's you're defending the Earth from alien invasion, and so it's like you have these. It's a mix of this kind of real time base building game, and then there are turn based tactical combat sequences that are really extended and really difficult. Honestly, kind of Baldur's Gate 3-esque in terms of just like, you know, positioning your characters and, you know, there's There's permadeath, so it's like, it's just like this, it feels very, very high stakes in some of these encounters you have to do over and over again. Well, basically, they had to rush out a sequel, and the sequel is XCOM Terror from the Deep. It came out like the next year, and it's basically just a reskinned underwater version of the original. It's basically aliens are invading again, but now they're in the oceans. And so it basically is just the same game, but way harder and underwater. But despite that, it's still good because the first game was so good.
Yeah.
That it's one of those things where just like, and even reading from the developers, it's just like, yeah, the publisher kind of just made them do this and they just turned it out as a cash grab, but still it's good and was worth playing. So I kind of, I don't know. I had a lot of fondness for it. I think also, it's also like, I feel like a game that maybe has kind of been memory holed a little bit. Like, I think people maybe remember the original XCOM, but forget about the direct sequel. And then also they made a bunch of bad XCOM games in the aftermath. And after that, there really wasn't a good XCOM game until like the 2012 reboot. So XCOM Terror from the Deep is the thing I figured I'd shout out for this exercise. But Rochelle, also, I wanted to, our producer Rochelle, before we started recording, you were like, why are we talking underwater games? And I asked you if you had one, and you mentioned you played through Inside, a game that we covered on the podcast.
Yeah, I just finished it this weekend.
Wow.
And it was recommended to me by my friend as a cozy game.
As a cozy game?
A cozy, spooky game. And I was horrified.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it was not cozy. It was very stressful and very scary, especially at the end. I did not expect there to be so much body horror.
Yes, yeah. It absolutely is. And there are some oceanic sequences. There's
oh,
some,
yes.
There's some a pivotal swimming sequence. But wait, hold on. Like, is it possible this friend had this confused with a different game? Because it's so not cozy.
No, I think that he thought it'd be funny to tell me. It was
oh,
cozy
okay,
game.
You got pranked. Okay,
I think
got
I
it.
Got pranked.
Yeah. What did you think, though?
I loved it.
Yeah, it is rad, right?
It was gorgeous and so beautiful.
It's one of my favorite games. It's a game that I think I recommend the most. Now up there with Disco Elysium as like me telling people you have to play this game. It's so great.
Wait,
I love
okay.
Inside.
Okay, I loved Inside as well.
Okay,
it was one of the first games I played that was like indie-ish, it's one of those games that teaches you the game as you play it. Like, there's
mm-hmm,
no
right.
Like, and I really enjoyed that about it. But wait, talk to me really quick. I'm sure your listeners don't want to hear about Disco Elysium, but I've heard so many things about this game. But when I looked it up, it didn't look like something I would be that into for some reason, just based on the imagery. But is it fucking rad?
You would love it. I mean, it's like, It's great writing. It honestly is a lot like Baldur's Gate without the combat, which is weird to say, but it's basically all of the role playing, or maybe weird to conceive of if you're expecting that sort of experience.
Yeah.
But it is just the role playing. It is just the character interaction, some light puzzles, but so much of it is just driven by dialogue and the choices you make as a player character, and you really get to role play the shit out of this. But also the writing and voice acting and art direction are all just top notch.
Yeah. It is a lot of reading. Like it,
a lot
there's
of
like
reading.
It's there's a lot of text on screen, a lot. And I recommended it to a friend of mine who I was in a D&D campaign with during the pandemic, and he told me it was the first video game he's finished in 20 years. He was like, I have not played a game like that. And I recommended it to him specifically because I was like, you can play this game how we play D&D, I think. Like it's so fun and you can be so crazy.
Yeah, that's the other thing is you get to, like, it's got a lot of leftist politics that are kind of built into it. And yes, you can play your guy as a complete, like, fucking drunken maniac.
Yeah.
Or you can just do a total sober playthrough, because drugs and alcohol are, like, a huge element of this, of the game. Like, I played through it in its entirety twice, and I played two completely different character builds, even though it's the same amnesiac player character, but I just played them in completely different ways and saw so much shit I did not see the first time through.
Would this be like the modern incarnation of like text adventures, more or less? Like it's like with visuals, like would be, because I'm not understanding what gameplay. I guess it's just all the choices you make send you down certain paths and like finding certain characters based on clue or finding certain steps based on clues and shit like that or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, it's a you're ostensibly a detective. Well, you are a detective. And you have a partner, and there is a case that you are solving. But it's okay. Not like a point-and-click adventure game or even a text adventure game where there's a bunch of puzzles and I got to figure out all this shit of, like, I got to figure yeah. out how do I get the – I have a slice of bread and a jar of mayonnaise. How do I get this key out of this keyhole? Oh, I know.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean? It's like none of that shit. It's just like going around and having like lengthy conversations and making different choices. And a big part of the gameplay is in the same way that there, you know, there are dice rolls and dialogue that happen in Baldur's Gate. It's the same sort of principle. And in fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Baldur's Gate actually borrowed it from this game. But it's like, you know, you'll based on a series of different attributes that your character has, different
should
skills.
Should you try to intimidate this guy? Oh,
exactly.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've done like an intimidation build more or less. So I
yes.
could like,
yeah.
I've juiced up my intimidation points so yeah. I could like, oh, I like
basing
this.
It on yourself.
It's funny that that's really only my dynamic amongst comedians. Like, yeah, I'm not right. like that in real life.
No.
I'm a fucking sociopath. I just changed who I am depending on my environment.
But before we move on from inside, Rochelle, yeah. you have to play Limbo. It's their okay. other game now, too, and it's so good.
I am very scared of spiders.
Oh, then do not play it.
I saw the cover, and I was like, I don't know if I can
yeah,
do
yeah, no,
this.
There are a lot of them, and they're bad. They're bad in the game. Do not play it.
Maybe this will be some exposure therapy for me.
Well, I will say, if you are looking for a cozy game and a chill game, I do think Dave the Diver qualifies.
Oh.
And I have put yeah. a lot of time into this, but Gabrus, you've put, I think, way more hours into this than me, and you also told me you rolled credits on this game.
Yeah, I quote-unquote, I think it's one of those games that you could just go back and continue to play forever,
right.
obviously. But yeah, I finished the narrative storyline in Dave the Diver. This game... Rochelle, I don't know you. You're off camera. I mean, I think we know each other, but I don't know your taste that well. If you liked Inside because of the underwater part, this game is cozy as fuck. Yeah. All the imagery, yes. all the music, everything is fucking cute in a non-derogatory way. Like, cute in a positive way. Not cute the way Apodaca is cute. That's, like, derogatory.
Why was that so hurtful?
Me doing a bit for a camera that no one can see.
Huh? So I can like... barely even see your reaction. Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I became obsessed with this game. A buddy recommended it to me, and I was on board from the jump solely because Dave was fat.
I love this about this game. He's a big fat guy with a little shy smile, and he just seems like I don't know. He's like it's not a body type you ever see as a player character in a video game.
Right, but it's very much a body type you see in scuba divers, which
sure.
I think is cool that they did, because we are all like, you know. Once you're underwater, it doesn't matter, you know, like it's
yeah.
the tank, it's the wetsuit, it's all that shit. So I found that to be really cool. And I didn't even know about like the sushi restaurant part of the game when I first started playing it. Like I had only been recommended about the diving stuff. And
yes.
then when it gets and I'm like, oh, I don't like shit like that. And then all of a sudden I was like, OK, well, Boncho, we need to find this new recipe. Because and I immediately got on board to the because I loved the diving parts and I really like the sushi parts.
Yes,
it's very fun in that the game doesn't let you get like bored with it, because they're like,
no,
well, now you have the sea people storyline. You're like, oh shit, okay, yeah, a whole nother world, a whole nother like like we're not even trying to catch fish right now. We're like solving crimes and puzzles and shit like that.
Yeah, it's got so much variance to, you know, how it plays and so many mini games built in. And you are right that the core gameplay loop, which it kind of, you know, it really parcels out, it you know, in a really measured way in the early game, like just introducing like one new thing with each run. But when it gets to that point, just like the loop of going down and catching fish and other undersea treasures and using that to stock your sushi restaurant and then taking the revenue from your sushi restaurant to like upgrade your gear, like that is just so satisfying and so compelling. And it's like the kind of thing where you know, I'm impressed you went through and finished the story, because part of my thing with playing this game is like it's just so chill, and that in and of itself is so satisfying that a lot of times some of the quests I just let linger, you know, I just sort of like go through and live in it for a bit.
The vibes are just so good, like just swimming underwater. I started playing mostly on my PC on Steam, but then this game itself, this game and my Nintendo Switch being stolen from my hotel room, led me to jumping to a Steam Deck. And that's been really fun. I put in a lot of Dave the Diver time on the toilet. Also, the Steam Deck is really big to like be playing like on the toilet and stuff. It's like heavy, and like your wrists start to hurt and shit.
You could practically use it as a squatty potty, like when you get to that part of it.
It's like taking a full laptop into the shitter. It's just like it's too much hardware,
too much power.
Exactly. So, Dave the Diver came out in June for PC and Mac. It was ported to Switch in October. If people you know, don't have a gaming PC, you can check it out that way. It was developed and published by Mint Rocket, which is a new division of a South Korean publisher called Nexon, which was previously named for free-to-play games like Maple Story. I think that's free-to-play. Dungeon and Fighter, a lot of mobile games. But this is like just like a straight up like not a cash grab, not like a like, you know, we're going to try to load this thing up with microtransactions. This is like a straight up just like game. And a lot of people, like I think me as well, like I just assumed this was an indie game because it has such an indie aesthetic. But it actually, you know, the developer themselves are like, this is not an indie game. You know, this came from an established publisher. It sold and development studio. It sold 1 million copies in 10 days on Steam, which to me was just like so encouraging in terms of this game that had like no real marketing campaign, no real buzz about it. Just kind of comes out and just kind of word of mouth. And I found this through Steam store. We were talking about curation earlier. I found this through a Steam store recommendation, and I was just like, okay, I'll give this thing a go. And
you turned the porno tab off, and then it.
Exactly, and then that one popped right up.
Dave the Muff
Second
Diver.
Base got out of there. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been playing. Is
yeah.
That right?
Oh, so you played the wrong.
I played the wrong one, but I love it.
Nick, you played the right one, brother.
You came to us in the Get Played group chat.
Yes.
Has anyone heard of Dave the Diver? Heather and I were both like, no. And then you said, Matt, you got to play Dave the Diver. And then you gifted me Dave the Diver. And
that's
then
right.
I started to play it. And
yeah.
It is, as described, very chill, very fun. I like being in the ocean. Don't get me wrong. I love the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the ocean. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
Their batteries are sinking ships.
The windmills are making the whales go crazy. But I love the sushi restaurant aspect of it. This game has so much stuff in it that any part of it could be for anybody at any given time.
Right.
It's like, maybe you don't like the swimming in the ocean part. You might like the restaurant management sim. That's great. That's like, because every single part of it works so well and it plays so perfectly. It's a really great package. I'm loving it, but I love managing that sushi restaurant.
It's really fun. You mentioned Boncho earlier, who is the chef there, and like I think that's just like the NPCs are so good in this. Like the whole, you know, inciting thing that begins this game is your pal Cobra, and who's just this dude with a Hawaiian shirt and aviators.
Yeah,
and
he's sort of like a CIA adjacent like guy or something. Like they kind of they code these in a lot of fun stereotypes is not the right word, but cliches rather.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
Cobra is like your man on the inside who's got connections to a bunch of weird shit. Boncho maybe is the one that goes against classic cliches, is a badass black sushi chef with like tiny little what's his name? Jean Renault glasses. Then like every character you get introduced. So this is one of the few games I've ever played that I never skipped a cutscene, even repeat
ones. Cutscenes are great. Sorry, keep going.
They're quick. They know they're that quick, they're just showing you like a cool minute of something. But every NPC they introduce has a full-on comedy premise in addition to a full-on realized characterization. It's like it's just rich in this way. It's just deep. Like your gun designer guy is like a fucking like dumpy married to like his anime pillow kind of guy who's he makes your guns, but he's also really kind of like sleazy seeming. There's like a guy who works at the newspaper who pays you for pictures of cool fish, but he's like lightly makes fun of you for being fat all the time. And like, the characters call it out. It's like, hey, what do you mean? And then it's like moving on. Like there's just so much shit going on when you watch. There's like evil right wing, like a James Cameron type who's like mining the ground. It's environmental. It's like pro animal. It's pro vibes. It's pro like everyone kind of looks down on Dave when they first meet him. Like everyone's like, but you're a fat diver. And then he ends up being great. And then when he meets the sea people, they're like, but you're a human. And he's like, ends up being great. Like all this stuff just keeps playing out. Like it's so fucking, the word I would use is charming. The game is
so
charming as fuck. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Just loaded with charm. The Duff, all the Duff Woozle weapons upgraded that you mentioned, the otaku weeb guy, all those cinematics always like crack me up because it's like, he clearly are using the guy as a punchline, but he's also so clearly unapologetically who he is.
Yes.
Unapologetically this guy who's like doing this all for his figurines that he, you know, of different anime female protagonists.
The charm of that is it's a punchline, but it doesn't ever feel like an attack. Like nobody's ever made to feel bad in
I was about
game.
To say, like, yeah, you could laugh at him, but if you were a lot like him, I don't think you would be offended by the portrayal.
No, no.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
the Pokemon guy who comes later on in the game, too.
I was going to say, that's my guy, Sato. He's dressed exactly like Ash Ketchum, and it's really funny.
And they even do bits, right, where Dave will be like, isn't this a lot like Pokka? And he's like, quiet.
Yeah. that's what I like it is a sort of thing of like there's a version where all this comedy would come across as like sweaty, but it's not. It all works, and it ties into just kind of like the feeling of that the stakes aren't super high, that you're not going to be punished for failure. Because even if you fail a run, you basically, it's like, oh, well, you lose all the fish you've caught except for, you know, you just get to retain one. It's not like a huge thing. And since there's not a ton of time pressure in this game, it doesn't feel like it's like this huge setback.
And then you just get back in the ocean.
Exactly. Then you just hop back in there.
I'll get back in.
Yeah, talking... Yeah, go on.
You do two dives, then a shift at the restaurant. Two dives, then a shift at the restaurant. Then eventually you'll have like a farm and like a fish farm and shit. And then that's when it starts to get to be like, I'm getting out of my depth here. And then boom, it's end game. And you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So about the diving, it absolutely nails the feel of swimming. Which I think so many games, like it's like you dread the water sequences, especially if it's not fully water based, but that's its own thing. But just like it's so easy to maneuver.
Like on top of the water only, you mean? Is that what you're saying? You're still mad about this?
Well, I'm just saying it wasn't really a water game. It just moving around. Just the ability of like just kind of move freely, mm-hmm. like as Dave, and it feels so good, and it's one of those things where I think that's a big part of why it's so satisfying, because there's also like a dash that you can do. There's certain like you can grab, you know, certain items that improve your maneuverability, but overall it's like not like it's not difficult to get where you're trying to go underwater. It like kind of really feels like. I've never scuba dove, but it really feels like what I assume scuba diving would feel like, and certainly what feels like my experience of swimming underwater.
Yeah, and like the way that you move when you have like when you're using a particular weapon, for example, too, like that has like its own sort of like you have to the way you have to angle it, and it's like your spear gun or whatever it is, like you have to, like that has its own sort of feel versus the other gun that you might have too. They all feel different. And I'm playing on the Steam Deck also, and I've been using those little touch pads right there, and I love those little touch pads for a game like this. You kind of just move on those bad boys itself.
Ooh,
pretty nice. Yeah.
I didn't do that. I've been using the joysticks like a normal freak. I, in the last few years, got kind of into scuba diving, and I've dove in a few places around the world. And it's horrifying. I am very afraid of it, I should say. I have, like, claustrophobia, so putting a bunch of shit on and having the tunnel vision and only hearing your breath and stuff and feeling like you're trapped at the bottom of the sea because you can't just push off or your brain will bleed or whatever. That shit gets to you, but there is something... When you're doing scuba diving right, when you're in the pocket, in the state of flow or whatever, or if I want to use more scuba diving technology, when you're at zero neutral buoyancy, in that you do not need to do anything to remain afloat. You do not need to do anything to sink. You are just at an even pace, which is something you do with like regulating your BPV, your flotation device. Uh-huh. And when you get it, BPV is bulletproof vest. It's definitely, that's not what it is, but BVD. Once you're, BVD is underwear. That's not it either. But
BDE
once you,
is big dick energy.
That is actually what I mean, though. So perfect. Once you have your dick energy sorted.
Yeah.
Nope.
We're talking about Dave the Muff Diver, right?
I've rolled credits on Dave the Muff Diver. You have to give your stepmom an orgasm. Would have been way easier if
Heather.
I knew about.
She seems mad.
Would have been way easier if I knew how to use the touch pads. But when you achieve, when you're in that zero buoyancy moment, that is, I've had experiences at like 50 feet down where I felt like I was in outer space.
Wow!
Because you are just fully sailing over coral reef with fish swimming in out of it. All of a sudden, you are like this being flying over a world, and you're not even doing any effort. You're just lightly moving your feet like this, and all you can hear is your breath, and all you can see is the bottom of the ocean. And next thing you feel like you're a fucking an aquanaut or whatever. And it's a super, and I feel like the game gives you that feeling by changing the tone of what it sounds like underwater, even like never really hearing dialogue and like just hearing the the game is fucking smooth as fuck. Gameplay, talk about the harpoon, any issue you have wielding it, like you just learn eventually. Like the game is just is a well-made, smooth game, and it makes you feel good when you play. And like Nick said, it sucks when you die, but just only because like your health bar is also your oxygen in a way. So
Which
I love because it's slowly going down the whole time.
Yeah.
And then once you get into combat, you get like in a situation where if you get hurt, now you have like it's even harder to get out of the water. Or shit, I wish I would have gotten into combat earlier. Now I'm already so depleted. Like I just like that about the game too. It fucks with your strategy and how it's being played too.
It gives you the one health pool, oxygen is both like, you know, how long you can stay underwater, and you if you take damage from like a, you know, a Mako shark bites you, you lose oxygen. Like having that one health pool, it's just like it's a symptomatic of just like how the whole game is so well designed, where it's like it makes the things that you don't want to it makes certain elements just so simple and so straightforward, and then adds complexity to a lot of the other things, like all the resource management on the sim side of things. So like it's simple in the right ways and it's complex in the right ways.
We played Dredge on this show a couple months ago. Dredge is a fishing sort of horror game, Gabrus. And
I think that might be the next Steam Deck game I download. I got a list of like good for the deck games, and Dredge has been recommended to me pre-deck as well. Wow, what did you guys think of the game?
Dredge is also great. It is very, you know, the opposite of Cozy. It's much more of
an inside.
Yeah,
it's like a horror. It's like a Lovecraftian Eldritch horror kind of game too. Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's worth playing. I think it's really cool. It's also like a, you know, much, it's short, it's certainly shorter than Dave the Diver. The thing is, like, the gameplay loop, and as far as a game where you're catching and trapping fish, is not nearly as satisfying. So from that standpoint, it doesn't, like, compare as well. I do think just like as a world, and I think the narrative design is all really cool.
Yeah, and there is no sushi restaurant in Dredge.
That's a big issue. There's no sushi restaurant you're managing.
Well, then maybe I'll like a little bit more of that. Do you guys now that everyone's decked out, if you will, do you have I've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire and Vampire Survivors, but I've been playing those for like months or years now.
Yeah.
But I've gotten really in the habit of like Steam Deck while I watch a bad TV show. And so or like a movie I've seen 100 times.
Right.
Curious. Have you guys stumbled upon any games that you find either has ported really well to the deck, or oh, this is a really fun game. If you haven't played it, it works well on the deck. Like, the main reason I took this, I agreed to do this episode was to get recommendations for more Steam Deck games. Yeah.
Deck Rex. No, I think
Deck Rex. Hell yeah!
So I in this room, I'm the one with the Steam Deck.
I am the one with the Steam Deck.
I am the one. You think that of me, Skylar?
I'm still so mad at Skylar.
Oh man, Skylar makes me so mad. Don't even get me started, dude. Honestly, Baldur's Gate 3, dude, because like there's stuff in that game where you don't have to, you can be in like a flow state, kind of like if you're in a goblin encampment and you're not really paying attention, there's not a lot of story going on, you just know you have to take down a bunch of guys. Get Baldur's Gate 3 on the Steam Deck and then just have that with you at all times, because let me tell you this too, you don't have to be online to be playing Baldur's Gate 3, so you could take that fucker on an airplane and be playing Baldur's Gate 3 on an airplane, dude.
Whoa.
I've done it, and it's, depending on what you're doing, you know, you don't want to be doing one of the horny missions.
Exactly.
Or something.
You don't want to be fucking Eiffel Towering a dragon kind.
Yeah, you don't want to be, you don't want to be
Comfort
getting,
Plus. Yeah.
You don't want your player character joining the Mile High Club. But it's,
you don't want to get caught tugging off to your avatar going Baldur's Gate 3. I like
Baldur's
that.
Gate 3 on the Steam. It's a big boy on there, honestly. So it's like it's gonna require a lot from the Steam Deck.
I find my Steam Deck. Yeah. I got one of the big ones. I find it gets hot.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So then this, but there's also like, I'll, because you own it on Steam, right? You own Baldur's Gate.
I own it on PlayStation. That's my problem.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you're probably gonna want to double dip in there.
Perfect. Let me get two different Baldur's Gate 3 campaigns going.
It does cross save. It does, so it does cross progression. So you could pick it up on Steam and carry it over, you know, to your PlayStation as well.
Holy shit!
Back and forth.
Holy
but
shit!
That's only if you have, you know, that's not for everybody, of course. That's for the people that are trying to actually take this shit seriously, you know.
I'm looking to see if there is one in the Steam store now, but like, you know, there's like a great curation list on in the Steam store that's just PC recommended by PC Game Pass, and it just lists all the games that are on Steam that are also on PC Game Pass in case you have that. So I would not be shocked if there was there's a curator that's like, you know, great on Steam Deck that just kind of like lists ones versions.
In the Steam store, they do have like deck recommended or whatever, you know, like works well on the deck or something like that. Did you guys play? Have you played Into the Breach? That's something I was.
Oh my god, I love Into the Breach. Into the Breach, that was like my favorite game that came out that year. I played the shit out of it. I actually was this is a thing I remember going back and forth with you back in the day. Is that I had played the shit out of Into the Breach. I had never played FTL, which was Subset Games' their first game, And so I went to you.
It's the same people.
It's the same developer. And so I went to you and was like, hey, should I like, or I think I maybe just asked generally if about maybe even online when I was posting online about how if I'd like FTL, and you actually got me on FTL. You got me to play it and then also give it a second chance. I have like over 100 hours in that game. Yeah, Into the Breach is fucking awesome.
Oh, cool. I'll check that out. I enjoyed FTL big time, but if someone was like, you could recommend this to any one of your friends that you think might like it more than you, you would be the person that would come to mind. It's like such like a, I've seen you manage chaos like in comedy and on your podcast like so many times in your life that I'm like, this guy's fucking built for this kind of game.
As far as deck recs go too, I got to say Disco Elysium, great on the Steam Deck. And if you, I think you've played Hades a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Messed with Hades?
Oh, I've played a lot of Hades.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vampire Survivors? That's a perfect deck.
You mentioned
game.
That, yeah.
I've been playing that countlessly. Okay. I've unlocked like 15 characters on that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Then
that's
those,
one of those fun games,
ones.
Too, that I kind of didn't do this with Dave ever either. Like, at some point, I eventually go on like Reddit or Google or IGN, and I'm just like, am I doing this right? And then it's like, make sure you do blank, blank, and blank. And you're like, oh, fuck, yeah. Vampire Survivors, I have no idea what I should be trying to complete. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in a way,
right.
That's kind of fun. In a way that it's always like, you unlocked Mordecai or whatever. I'm like, I don't even know how the fuck I did that. I just know. Pick some character, pick some level, and try to stay alive for as long as possible. And I have no idea what I'm trying to do with it. But there's something fun about that, too.
Absolutely.
Any other thoughts on Dave the Diver? I mean, I would heartily recommend this game to anyone who just wants a chill, fun experience, and also a game you could play for a while, because I think the campaign is like north of 20 hours.
It's a 20-hour game.
Yeah, it's pretty substantial. It's a decent size.
You could do a lot
with
it.
And you could play it in 50 hours. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You could take your time to it. Yeah.
Right.
It's really fun. It's really, again, so it does something that I think modern games are starting to get right more than games from when we were younger. It's like it adds to the game as you play it, where it's like, okay, so you've got all this shit figured out. Great. Here's one little layer to the onion. You're like,
yes.
Oh shit, weird. And then you're like, all right, you've been living in this kind of realm for a few hours. Here's another layer. Here's another, and then you're fully sizzling with everything where you're like, all right, need to take a photo, need to upgrade my tranquilizer gun, need to, and like, you know, and then you're like, I need to get the seaweed for the sea people at my farm. And all of a sudden you got like 20 things going that if when I turned the game on, they started rattling that shit off, I would have like fucking put a nail gun through my Steam Deck like the killer tonight. I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this shit. I'm out, you know? So yeah. I love the way they like I think I've talked about this every time I've been on. Just like that's like the newest trend in games to me, where it's like the game will teach you the game. Like it's built in there. There's like, look, no one's looking at instruction manuals. Games don't even come with them anymore. Just start playing the game and it'll either tutorial you or give you the most basic introduction and then slowly add shit as the game goes on. It's fucking cool. And I don't even like sushi, like restaurant sims or anything. I don't like that kind of shit, that like idle game shit. Like, I can't believe how much time I spent pouring green tea and beers in this game.
Yes.
Of like, I'm like, I don't even like doing shit like this, but I better fucking get it right because I need the tips.
The sound.
With the tips, yeah.
The sound for pouring the tea and then pouring the tea perfectly is up there with some of the best sounds I've ever heard.
It's really satisfying.
It's so satisfying.
And then 100%,
yeah.
There's this little, like, you know, a liquid physics mini game that's just one element of one part of the game.
Yeah.
It's just like there's just so many like little delights packed in there.
I got pretty good at pouring the tea.
I'm pretty good at it too.
I'm bad at pouring beers, but I'm good at the tea. I can always almost get perfect on the tea. Beers, I just like never really figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right, Gabrus, and I think that is like the big thing about this game, the big win about this game, is that the slow roll of new mechanics, that it just, like, there's always something new happening, and for a huge chunk of the game, I would say for most of the game, it's just like you're going through it, here's one more thing, here's one more thing. It never comes out in a way that overwhelms you. I love it. I love all the mini games. I love the kind of random feel to everything. I think this also has one of the best in-game smartphones for what it's worth.
Yes.
So often
yes!
I see a phone in a game, I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to deal with this shit. This is what I'm trying to escape right now. But it's so, like, it's just like another layer of gameplay, and it's like a great just a great way to have the UX presented.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's just like an in-game menu, more or less, but it's presented in such a cool way. And then and like a lot of these modern games too, with like that know-how achievement-based we all are, like eventually you get like, now the environmental guy is saying, I need 5 red shells, 5 blue shells, 5 purple shells. Now this guy's saying, you need to catch a perfect version of the mitochondrion or whatever. This guy's saying, get me a photo of the electric eels. So your shit starts piling up that you have to do, but it's never overwhelming because there's almost no time constraints on the game except for when like a celebrity customer is coming to the restaurant.
Yes.
That's the only game. And I fucked up one celebrity customer so many times. And here's the thing. They just decide to come back 3 days later, always.
Yeah.
So, like, the most stressful part of the game is, like, we need to have seaweed here by day 3 because this Japanese pop star character needs seaweed or whatever. And you're like, fuck, I'm not going to have it. And he's like, I'll be back. And you're like, okay, never mind.
Like, I guess it wasn't that big of a deal, actually.
I was really spiraling about this for a while.
Matt, any other thoughts? There is an in-game cat. Momo.
Look, this is a good guy. Momo is good. Look, I'm hard-pressed to think of one of these cats from a game that I don't really like.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good. Can you pet Momo? I don't think you can.
I don't know if you can pet Momo.
The game is bad.
Actually, not sure. I'm sure we can figure that out. Yeah, great game.
I refuse to ever find out. Fuck Momo.
Great game, a lot of fun.
So good.
Hey, I got a segment here. This is a new one we haven't done before. Everyone all right with a segment?
I'll allow it.
Okay, here we go. This is Would You Blathers. This is a video game version of Would You Rather. I'll give you a video game related scenario, a couple of video game related scenarios, and you tell me which one you'd prefer.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Ooh.
Would you blathers be a bear with a bird in his backpack like Banjo, or be a bird riding in the backpack of a bear like Kazooie?
I'm going to go full Banjo here.
Mm.
Is that how you answer this? I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I'm like,
absolutely.
Wait,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. Banjo's, yes.
I think I'd have to say the same because, yeah, if you're Banjo, you're the bear, you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But then if you're the bird in the backpack, you're kind of called upon to do stuff. Maybe that's not at a convenient time for you, you know? So I think I'm gonna go Banjo as well. Are there correct answers?
Sure. Yeah. You're both right. Okay. We'll say that.
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
No, it's just a hypothetical, whatever
okay,
you
great.
Want to answer. Rochelle, you got a preference? Bird or bear?
Bird, because I am a passenger princess.
Oh, there we go. Go off.
Okay.
All right, next up. Would you blathers have Johnny Silverhand's personality electronically implanted into your brain like in Cyberpunk 2077, or have a mind flayer parasite burrow into your brain like in Baldur's Gate 3?
Okay, so this is really tough.
Yeah.
And
this actually is really tough.
Because here's the thing. Johnny Silverhand, Keanu Reeves, really cool.
Yeah.
But in spoilers for Cyberpunk, doesn't seem like you can really do anything about that. Whereas the Mind Flayer, I believe there is a cure. I think you can get cured.
Spoilers for Baldur's Gate 3. I think My case, and I'll let Gabrus answer. My big thing with Silverhand is that, as cool as Keanu is, I feel like I wouldn't have any privacy. It's just at any time.
Oh
this
no!
Guy's
you
just
caught me jacking
up.
Off again, exactly. Buddy.
Yeah, I guess. Well, because you know what? There's a whole part of Baldur's Gate 3 that I haven't really explored, like eating the fucking slugs or whatever it is, and you can upgrade your like mind flayer powers. I chose not to do that this run.
Right.
So maybe I go full mind flayer and see what we can do. See what we can cook up together.
Ooh. I've not played Cyberpunk, and I'm just fresh into Baldur's Gate. But I'm going to go with the Mind Flayer Parasite just because I wanted to shout out the fucking visual of the parasite crawling into the eye that they show in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That is fucking gnarly. That's radical. It's truly crazy. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Inside-esque body horror.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next up. Would you blathers have an arm that's a gun like Mega Man's Buster Cannon, or have an arm that's a grappling hook like the wolf in Sekiro? So one of your arms is being replaced with either a cannon or a grappling hook.
Cannon. Ooh. Easily.
Cannon
easily.
Cannon.
I have no reason to go up. I have no reason for a grappling hook.
That's funny. This is this was the easiest decision to make as well, and I would go grappling hook.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, well, to me, you said Sekiro, but for me, Bionic Commando is the game of my childhood that I think about all the time. Like, that's such fun gameplay. The idea to have like that Batman and/or famously Spider-Man mentality of being able to like shoot and swing and like that seems, for me, more useful than firing Buster Cannons at people. Even though Buster Cannons make me feel good.
I feel like everyone, if I was I had a gun that was attached to my body, that would make people nervous. And so
they see me coming with that thing, they know everything's fine.
That's true. That's like, you've heard of Chekhov's gun, but have you heard of a Weiger's arm gun? If that comes out in the first act, it's being pressed to his own temple in the third.
Jesus.
Want to see a magic trick, buddy? Want to see my jaw disappear?
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen Fight Club?
I'm my own Tyler Durden, buddy.
Let's do one more. Would you blathers crash land your plane into a lost underwater libertarian utopia like Bioshock, or be stranded on an island populated by cute animals like an Animal Crossing New Horizons?
Oh, come on. I don't got time for all that other bullshit. Give me those animals. I'm not going to read Atlas Shrugged to understand what's going on. Get me with my boy Dom and Ketchup, the red duck.
I've only played Bioshock, and even that I didn't play too much of. But the animal, cute animal, I don't know. When you said trapped on an island full of cute, in my head, I was like, oh, yeah. And then you said animals, and I was like, oh, right, that makes more sense. Cute power lifters. I'm game for the island too, and mostly just because I'm an island guy. I don't like the Bioshock shit. Kind of sketches me out a little.
And there's
constantly
like
listening to like announcements and shit would drive
exactly.
Me crazy.
No, yeah,
people you can hear in hallways talking to themselves, being like, "If only they trusted my formula," or whatever they're saying.
yeah. I don't think I'd want to be in Rapture. Also, you got the threat of Big Daddies, and you're not really dealing with any sort of.
But. You could be a big daddy as well.
Ooh.
I mean, I guess.
What but then, mean, yeah, what like fate is that? Yeah. To what end?
Yeah.
You're walking down the bio, and you just hear down the hallways, it's like, and actually, the crank is not for power. It's just for gameplay. Like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Scraping their human nails along the wall. Like, ugh.
We'll take a, we might do this again. If anyone wants to pitch any Would You Blathers scenarios, toss them in our Discord and maybe we'll use them and credit you in a future episode. And hey, that's this week's Get Played. I want to shout out Rochelle, our producer. Also, check out our paywalled show, Get Animated, which is over at patreon.com/getplayed. Gabrus, thank you so much for joining us. Anything you would like to plug?
This is probably coming out in a while. Check out the two podcasts Weiger mentioned earlier, High and Mighty and Action Boys, and also 101 Places to Party Before You Die is on Max still. If you haven't caught it, it might be for you, you gaming nerds.
Great show.
A great, great show.
Also,
so
yeah,
fun.
Action Boys should know with a Z. Action Boys with a Z. Yes. Check it out on Patreon. Do you have any unlocked episodes in the High and Mighty feed?
We have a bunch of, if you go to free.actionboys.biz, there's about 8 or 9 free episodes you could listen to there as well.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
All the ones that have been in the High and Mighty feed are now just living on that feed for people to check out.
Wow. There you go. Wow. That's a great show.
Indeed,
one of my favorites.
Thank you, Weiger.
Gabrus, thank you so much for being here. And I'll say it, you know what, in a kind of a gentle, sort of chill, sort of a Dave the Diver fashion, you got played.
You got played.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.